Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi. Zvachem Ayin Dal, we begin four lines off the top. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Barabo, he quotes Rav Amar Rav. So this is in conjunction with the Mishnah that we learned and discussed the last couple of days regarding a problematic animal which got mixed into other fine animals. Mishnah says, let's say it was a chatas hamesa, a chatas which is meant for death, falls into the mixes into the group of animals which are proper karbanos. Well, the chatas is not batel. The Isser has to be reckoned with, and we explained why there's no bittul. In which case, all these animals have to be, let to die. So, continuing on this topic of an Isser mixing in with heter, here's an example of a tabas shel avodas kochavim, a ring used to adorn avodas zarah. So it's avodas zarah material, which is off limits for us, totally forbidden. You can't even have anah from it. Now it got mixed into 99 others. Fine rings, kosher rings, permissible rings. Shinus arva b'meya tabos. For a total of 100. One isser mixed in with 99 heter. So at this point, regardless of the fact that it's so negligible, the avodah zarah now forbids the entire bunch, the entire group. Even one, in a thousand is not going to be batel. Now, let's say one of these rings dropped out of the mix. V'nafla achas mehem liyam agadol. Okay, so some explain, by the way, that the point is because of it, the zara is not batel, irrespective of its minuscule quantity, and some learn because a ring is davar choshev, something of importance, something special, something unique, and is not batel. In any case, we have a problem. The whole mix right now is asr. However, v'nafla achas men mehem liyam agadol. So it happens that one of these rings dropped out of the mix, fell into the deep blue sea, out of the way, out of reach, totally unretrievable. Hutra kulam. That saved the day. Now you can use the rest of the rings. Why? Damrina, now we can speculate. Let's assume that the one that dropped out of the mix, the one that fell into the sea, was the Isser. We'll blame the Isser on that one. Now the rest is okay. And Tesis explains, because how could we be so easy on this? He says, Minatayra, really, it's batel. But with the Rabbanon, we keep it unbatel. And in this case, where one fell out, we just sort of blame it on the Isser. By the way, Tesis says that Dafka, if it fell out on its own, but if he himself did it, that he can't, we don't allow it. And Dafka, he says, when it's totally out of the way, it's, unretrievable, but if it's right here, just, off to the side, we don't apply this leniency. We don't say, well, let's assume that's the Isser and the rest is okay, and some of Harshim explained, because the concern is that he might just take it out of the mix instead of waiting for it to separate. So only in this unique, bizarre case where one just dropped out of the blue into the deep sea, then Hutru Kulon Damrinan, we say, Hach, the Nafal Hainet Yisra. Okay, so that's Rav speaking. Eisve Rava, the Rav Nachman. So Rava asked Rav Nachman, who quoted Rav, he asked him a question. Look at our Mishnah. One animal amongst 10,000. What's their fate? Misa. Okay, because since that Chatas was Lemisa, so all of them now have to be put to death. Why? Afilu achas biribu, even one in 10,000, yomusukum, they're all meant to die. Amai, why? Once you allow one of them to die, done. Let's blame that one on the Isser. Let's blame the Isser on that one. Let's assume, let's hope, that was the Isser, and the rest is now muta. It's like the ring that dropped out of the mix. Namely, let's say, the mice, the one that died, Isser mice. It was the Isser one that died, and the rest is okay. Amalei. He says, you're right. It's really a discussion. That's a machlekes. And in fact, Rav, who ruled leniently on this matter, Rav Damakar Belazer, he followed Chita Rabbi Elazar, which we discussed yesterday, but we have the mix-up between the oila parts, right, the proper carbonis oila parts, sitting together with problematic parts of a carbon which was a balmum, a pustle carbon, a deficient, faulty carbon. Now we have this mix. What do? We're not meant to be makrev any. You're not allowed to be makrev a balmum. On the mizbeach. However, Rabbi Elazar says, if it so happens to be that somebody, for some reason, decided to place one part on the mizbeach, so you have 10 heads, one of them on the mizbeach, and of course it was unidentifiable, they couldn't define which one's what. So let's just assume, let's hope and pray, that was the faulty one, now the rest is okay. Rav Damakar Belazar. So in fact, Rav, who applies a similar concept to the case of the rings, we assume the one that dropped out of the way was the problematic one. Damakar Belazar is going for Belazar Shita, the son of Belazar Oimer, im karev harosh shalechemen, for one of the heads in this mix of proper and improper karbanis was put on the mizbeach. Now we assume that's the Isser, yikrivu kol harashim kulam, we can now proceed and do the rest. Hold it, says the Gemara, but Rabbi Elazar didn't stop there. He had two conditions that needed to apply in order to allow the rest to be processed. Va'amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar is the Amir, he explained, lo yiter Rabbi Elazar ela shnayim shnayim, you should know Rabbi Elazar required another condition to be fulfilled. So A, that one head was already processed, so we assume it's that one, but furthermore, when he approaches the other part sitting here, he has to do two at a time, two heads at a time. Rashi explains, you know why? Because there was only one problematic head in the mix. So when he takes two at a time, his engagement right now, his activity certainly entails one which is okay. Right? One of these two is certainly okay. So we say migui. Since one is okay, let's assume the second one is okay as well. And we'll assume that the Isser was the one that was put on the Mizbeach. So it's only in conjunction with this duo, with this, you know, pair system, which gives another, you know, layer of leniency, another layer of probability to sort of assume that he's okay. Only then is it okay. Shnayim, shnayim, aval echad echad loy. You can't take one part at a time and put it on the Mizbeach. So only through this sort of combined, double factor in your favor do we allow it. So just having one drop out of the way doesn't necessarily open the door or run the green light on you. Likewise with the rings, just because one ring fell out of the fold, that's not enough to allow the rest. You need this pair system to be added as well. Omar, but one at a time, no. Amalei, he says, you're right. Anonami tarti kamina. When I said that you can use the rest, I meant two at a time. Rashi says, you sell two at a time. And since, to begin with, there was only one problematic ring, you know, certainly in this sale right now, one is okay. We'll assume the second one is okay as well. Why? Because we'll assume the Isser was the one that, you know, fell into the ocean. Okay, that's one halacha of Rav. Here comes a second halacha of Rav. Amarav. Once again, we have the mixed up rings. Tabas, shalavaydus kachamshin is arab me tabois. One avaydusar ring, getting mixed into 99 for a total of 100. And now somebody came along and split them into two piles, 60 to 40. Upirishu arboim makam echad, v'shishim makam echad. Now you have 40 on one side of the table, 60 on the other. So if you take one ring out of the 40, you're okay because presumably, where is the Isser ring? It's sitting in the majority, and the bigger punch, right? Chances are you're sitting amongst the bigger bunch. So, Pirsha Achas Me'arboim, if you take one out of the 40, Enei Seres, you take it and, you know, it falls into another bunch, it doesn't cause any problems. Achas Me'shishim Me'seres, but if you take one out of the 60, where presumably the Isser is stationed, You take one of those and throw it into another mix, it makes it asr. Asks the Gemara, why? I don't understand the difference. Just as you told me when you take one out of the 40, you're okay, because presumably the isr is amongst the 60, not amongst the 40, so it's in the other pile. Likewise, when you take one out of 60, it's only one out of 60. So what are the chances that the isr is in my hand versus in the 59 remaining behind? More chances that it's sitting amongst the 59. I didn't actually chance upon the isr. So I should be safe as well, even if I take one out of the 60. Ma'ishna, what's the difference? Achas marboim deloy, one out of 40 is not a problem. That means we assume isur b'rubisay, the isur is sitting amongst the 60, which is the majority number. Achas mishishim nami, likewise. When I pull one out of the 60, I'm reading, we should still say Yisura Barubi Yisur. Assumingly, the Yisur is sitting amongst the majority, the 59, rather than the one that is in my hand. You're right. Elo. Let's rephrase the Eloch. So you have one Yisur falling into 99 for a total of 100. Somebody came and split it into two piles, 60 one side, 40 on the other. Here goes the Eloch. In Pirshu Arboim Kulon Lamakam Echad Ein Oistres. If you take the entire pile of 40, throw it into another bucket of rings, no problem. No harm was done. Assumingly, the Isser is in the other pile. Okay, that's good. However, Shishim l'makam echad, if you should take the full pile of 60 and toss it into another pile of rings, so you took the entire 60, where we assume the Isser is present, then Isser is. Then it forbids the entire pile. Okay, so according to Rav, one Isser into 99 heter, total of 100. It was split into two piles, 60-40. And the 40 pile fell into another pile. It's okay. Because now in the new pile, every single ring has sort of a double suffix to it. A double uncertainty. Two layers of uncertainty. Why? Number one, we're not really sure whether the Isser ring was present in that pile to begin with. And now when it fell into another group of rings, it adds another layer of uncertainty. So now in the new pile, each ring, well, am I the Isser? Am I not the Isser? On top of the previous uncertainty, which questions whether the Isser at all was present in the original pile of 40 before he fell into the new mix. So it's a double suffix. It's called a svek svek, a double uncertainty, which according to Rav is permissible even regarding Avodah Zarah issues. Shmuel disagrees. When it comes to Avodah Zarah, was so heavy, was so machmir on it, even a triple uncertainty would not help you much. Okay, so this was Rabbi Yehuda quoting Rav. There's a gersha in the beginning, Amar Bidam Rav. So he quoted Rav, and we know that after Rav passed away, he went to learn by Shmuel. Risaka made the Shmuel, so Rav Yehuda relates further. When I presented this halacha of Rav to Shmuel, that we allow, after a double, you know, a suffix occurs, we allow even of a deserved material. Amarli, he responded by saying, no, Hanach l'avoy deskechavim, let go. Don't apply this type of kula to avoy deserah. But avoy deserah, the Isser stays on. Perpetually, all the way. Whether it's one suffix, one mix, or even a double uncertainty, two mixes, all the way till the end, forever. Here comes Akash. Bryce clearly says, yeah, a single suffix would not allow. Suffix, asura, but a double suffix is okay, muteres. Ketzah, for instance, here's an example. You have one glass, which was used for Avodah Zarah. Offer to Avodah Zarah, whatever, it's Asr, on account of Avodah Zarah. Now it fell, it got mixed in with a whole storeroom of glasses. You can't identify. Kulan Asr, so now each glass in that room is Asr because he's a suffix. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not, right? Pirush Echad Mehem L'Ribu, however, if one of those glasses was removed from that room, and now got mixed into 10,000 other glasses. So now everyone in this new mix is really a svek sveka, has a double uncertainty to him. Because, number one, Who says the Isser even transferred out of the storeroom to this new mix? And number two, who says this individual glass in this new mix is that one that transferred? So it has a double suffix. Even if it went a step further. Let's say, from this new mix, separated one glass and fell into another mix of 10,000. We say it's okay. Now Tosis points out that really, even without the third step, it would be okay, but it just highlights the point that according to Shmuel, it would be usher even all the way down the line. That's one approach of Tosis. In any case, we're dealing with more than just a simple uncertainty. It's a double, triple suffix. It's okay. That's a kashan Shmuel who says that no, Avet Zara carries on. In fact, Tanoi, it's really a machlekes Tanoim, as we're going to see. And the question again is, we know Avodah Zarah is us. We know even one suffix is us. What about a double suffix? So Shmuel says, Usr, he'll follow a certain opinion discussed in the next brisa, Isanya or Bidoimer. Once again, we have a question of mixes, double mixes, Rimoye Badan, we have these special pomegranates, which happen to be Usr. Arla, Usr Bahanah. And due to its uniqueness, like we said yesterday, it's not going to be batel. Eisrim bekalshu, even one in many is not batel, it's asr. The whole mix is asr. Ketzer, for instance, nafal echad mehem nosech ribui. One of these fruits fell into 10,000. Umi ribui l'ribui, and one of those fell into another 10,000. Asur in the entire, mix is asr. Reb Shimon, Yudah Eimim Rishon Reb Shimon, he quotes Reb Shimon. So that's Reb Yudah. Shimon, however, says, no. If it's a double suffix, it's okay. L'ribui asurin. Yeah, the initial mix, 1 into 10,000, each one is a suffix. Am I not? So it's us. But if it goes further, if one of those now relocates to another mix, and certainly if it keeps on going from that mix to the next mix, it's certainly okay. Umiribu l'shloisha, if one of those 10,000 pomegranates drops into a group of three, umishloisha l'makim achar, and from those three, one of them pops into another mix, mutter, it's okay, because now we're dealing with multiple layers of uncertainty. Okay, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, even a sfeik is usher, not so according to Rabbi Shimon. Let's explore. Shmuel, who says that by the Zara only, the Isser carries on even by a sfeik, just by the Zara, not by other Isser. Shmuel Damar Kaman, whose shita is he aligned with? He could have been like Rabbi Yehuda, no, I feel like Bishar Isserim usher. Rabbi Yehuda was speaking about Arla. Even by Arla, he says a sfeik is usher. That's not like Shmuel. Who limits it to Avodah Zarah? Ikar Reb Shimon. Is Shmuel like Reb Shimon? No. Just the opposite. Afilu Avodah Zarah, Nami Shor, according to Reb Shimon, even by Avodah Zarah Yisurim, a sfeik is okay. So we're stuck. What do you mean Shmuel is going like who's he going? V'chitim, perhaps we'll say, yeah, Reb Shimon allows sfeik by other Yisurim, like Arla, but not by Avodah Zarah. Shani Le Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon draws that distinction between Avodah Zarah, where even he would concede that a sfeik is also like Shmuel, L'shar Yisurim versus other Yisurim, like the pomegranates of Arla, where he says it's okay. Well, that would be an issue, because we had that brisa earlier, which clearly told us that by Avodah Zarah, one suffix is Aser, two suffix is Mutter, and we don't seem to find any shita that holds that way. Elohad the Sanya, suffix Avodah Zkuchav Masura, Usfek Sveka Muteres. So how are we going to sort of label that brisa discussed earlier, that by Avodah Zarah, one suffix is Aser, two is okay? Mani, whose shita is that? Lord Rabbi, it's not going like Rabbi Yudah, who says that not just Avodah Zarah, any Aser would be a problem, Sfek Sveka. For Rabbi Shimon, nor is it like Rabbi Shimon, who we just suggested would hold that by Avodah Zarah, two suffix is Aser. So we're sort of stuck. And we assume, since we find a disagreement between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, we assume that that brisa reflects at least one of these opinions, not sort of an unknown third opinion. So back to the question. Shmuel, who says that by Avodah Zarah only, Sfek Sfek is Aser, whose shita is he aligned with? Says in the Rabbi Shimon. You're right. That brisa, which says that by Avodah Zarah, Sfek Sfek is Mutter, it's going like Rabbi Shimon. Because Rabbi Shimon doesn't differentiate. He says Sfek Sfek is always okay, whether Arla or Avodah Zarah. So back to the question of Shmuel. But Shmuel, who says by Avodah Zarah, double suffix is Aser, and only by Avodah Zarah, Savak Rabbi Yehuda, Be'echada, U'palagli Be'echada. On the one hand, he adopts Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, that, by Yisurim, Asfek Sfek is still Aser, U'palagli Be'echada, but on the other hand, he disagrees. He only adopts his Shita regarding Avodah Zarah. He considers it to be more strict, more stringent, Pasuk says, Vayisacherim kamayu, get it out of the way, even a drop is a problem, even any sort of, you know, of a desired element, as minuscule, as unlikely as it is, it's asr. But he disagrees on the other account, meaning when it comes to other isurim like arla, even though it's asr b'ano, it stops at suffik, but sfek is mutar. Amar, let's just go back and clarify one clause of this price. Rav Shimon says, if this falls into this mix, and one of those falls into the next mix, and so on and so forth, it's mutar. And how do you describe this sequence? He says, Amar, so we learned, Meribu l'shloisha, so the pomegranate fell into 10,000. One of those dropped into three, the next mix, u'mishloisha l'makamachar, and one of those three into the next mix. It's mutar. Now, why the number three? I mean, I understand, certainly understand, you can't just mix one and one. One and one is not a mix. So if from the initial mix of 10,000, one popped out and landed together with just one more, so now it's just two together, it's one and one, that's not really a mix. That doesn't really generate another layer of uncertainty, because when it's one and one, it's like 50-50, you have to deal with it strictly, stringently. You have to assume that, you know, it's a suffix issue. You can't, it's not... It doesn't really gain another layer of uncertainty there. That only happens when it falls into a mix where the majority is okay. So now you have another reason to believe that every one in that mix is okay. That adds another layer of uncertainty to give us a total of two. So certainly one on one wouldn't work. But why one into three? It could be one into two. As long as we have a majority over this questionable pomegranate that fell in from the first mix, which may have contained the Isra. So we have a majority against him, that gives another element of leniency, another element of kula, which adds another suffix to everyone in that mix. Now, everyone in that mix can boast svek sveka. Well, maybe I'm not the one that fell in, maybe I was here originally. Right? And, even if I came from the earlier mix, maybe the Isra was never there. I came from the earlier mix, but maybe I wasn't the Isra. The Isra pomegranate is still sitting in the earlier mix. So in the second mix, you have a svek sveka, but that's only because, as we said, you have a majority against this newcomer. Okay, let's just clarify again. We have a pomegranate, Isra, dropping to 10,000. So every one of those is now Asr Misafik. Maybe he's Mutter, maybe he's Asr. One of those drops into two more, for a total of three. Technically, any one of those three is Mutter. It's Svek Sveka. Because, look, pick one up and say, look, maybe he was here to begin with. He wasn't one of the original. He didn't come from the original mix. And even if he did come from the original mix, who says the one that transferred was the Isra? Okay? So to get to that point, all you need is that it should get mixed into another two. And as we explained, one and one wouldn't work. Just a total of two wouldn't work, because you have to go to Chumrah. You can't just assume that he's okay, because whenever it's one and one, 50-50 makes it Asr. So you need a majority of heter to create that another layer of uncertainty, a layer of suffix. But that's enough. You don't need three more. Maishna. Says the Gemara, what's the point of shloisha? Why the number three? The ikat ruba, because you have a majority in that new mix, which is certainly okay, versus this questionable one, this visitor, this newcomer. Shnaim nami ikat ruba. Same would be if you would have two. Majority versus this newcomer. You're right. My gimel the tani tarti b'hu. You're right. When we spoke about three, it's after recounting the newcomers, a total of three. Tarti b'hu, two plus this new fellow. B'vayis ema. Okay, and this is one more, another answer to our initial question. We're looking for a shita to attribute to Shmuel, who says that by Avodah Zarah, a sveik sveika is asr. Whose sheet is that? we were groping, having a hard time, sort of pinning it down. But there's another option for that. Savakar Eliezer. We find in Maseches Avodah Zarah that Eliezer actually holds that by Avodah Zarah, Sfek Sfek is Asur, as Rashi brings. Shmuel will go with that Shita. And again, that's only limited to Avodah Zarah. Regarding other Yisurim, you would agree, Sfek Sfek is Mutar. Okay, so just before we continue, we have two halachos in the name of Rav regarding these rings that got mixed into each other. Tabas Avodah Zarah. In many Tabas of Heter, a total of 100. One of them falls into Yama Gadol, gets out of the way. You can actually use the rest, as long as you use them two at a time. Because we hope that the Isser fell into the sea, and now the fact that you're using two at a time certainly assures that your involvement, at least in some fashion, is mutter, because it was only one problematic ring. Let's assume the whole involvement is okay. Next, Halacha of Rav. He took the 100 and split it into two groups, 60 and 40. If the 40 fell into another group, it's okay. We assume the Isser is amongst the 60, which if it falls into another group, it would be Asr. But in terms of the 40, the reason why the new group is Mutter, because it's a Sex Faker. Who says the ring was there to begin with? And regarding each ring now, who says, I'm the ring that was transferred from the, maybe I was here to begin with. Maybe I wasn't one of the 40 that came in here. So each one has a Sfek Sfek. That's Rav Shita, whereas Shmuel disagrees. In terms of Avodah Zarah, it's Asur perpetually, even Safek Sfek Sfeka, so on and so forth. Continues the Gemara. Amar Resh Lakish. This forthcoming halacha is very similar to the halacha mentioned earlier in the name of Rav with the fallen ring. Here it pertains to barrels. Barrels filled with wine. One of which was filled with Teruma wine, which is only meant for a kohen. And this sealed barrel, which as we explained earlier a couple of days ago, is not going to be batel because of its prominence, because of its individuality. It can't be nullified, it can't be batel, even if it mixes up with 100 other barrels. All those barrels now have to be treated like Teruma. This one barrel, sealed barrel, filled with teruma wine, shenis arva, that got mixed up, b'meya chavios, with 100 other barrels filled with ordinary, wine. At this point, you can't really use the rest as regular wine. You have to treat them like teruma. Perhaps this is the truma that you're encountering. Now, v'nafla achas mehen liyam ha-melach. Some change it to liyam ha-gadol. One of those barrels, one of this mix of 101 barrels, falls away into the deep sea, lost. Hutru kula. Now all the rest are permissible, fully permitted. Why? Because we can safely assume, the Amrinan, we assume, we speculate, Hachta Nafal, the one that fell off the ship into the ocean, the Isur Nafal. That was the Isur, that was the Truma, which now permits the rest. And Taisus explains, we mentioned this earlier, that the reason why we're so lenient, and we assume, the best instead of the worst, because really, a barrel should be batel. Minatura, even a barrel is batel, in the, greater number of permissible barrels. It's only midrabbanan that something which is chashiv, something which has prominence, etc., will not be batel. In this case, we have another reason to be lenient. We can just, blame the Isser on that fallen barrel, then we hope for the best, and you can have the rest. And really, this halacha is sort of a duplicate, a repetition of that previous halacha mentioned by Rav Nachman, the name of Rav, with the rings. One Avodah Zarah ring mixed into 100 others, right? Or 99 others, and you have one that fell out of the bunch and got lost. The rest is okay. Why repeat the halacha once by rings and once by barrels? V'istrich, we need the halacha of Rav Nachman with the rings. V'istrich, the Rish Lakish, and likewise, Rish Lakish's halacha with the barrels. Each one has its own distinct lesson. How? Di'im mid Rav Nachman, if only that first halach of Rav Nachman. I would say, that only that leniency is only applied to avodah zarah, because really you're stuck. The ein lo matirin. There's no solution to the problem. It's all asur without any recourse. Okay, so if we have this room to be lenient, we do so. Aval truma di yesh lo matirin, but by a truma mix-up, which has an avenue of permissibility, right? Rashi says, you know what? Just take the whole shipment of barrels and sell it to a kayin, right? So you're not at the point of loss. Perhaps we should not be so lenient and allow the rest to be drunk if this happens. No, comes the Rish Lakish and says, here too, if one barrel falls away, we can drink the rest as though it's not truma. Read the Rish Lakish, if only, on the other end, if only this second halacha, have I mean, I would think, chav is the minikur nifilas. Yeah, by a barrel, which is a large entity, where its absence is noticed. Right, you see a missing, you know, place on the ship. Here we say, okay, after this event, we can be mated the rest. Aval tabas loy minkara nifilas loy. But perhaps when it comes to rings, where each ring is small and not so noticeable, perhaps we should not allow the rest just because one fell away, because perhaps it's not so discernible that it happened, and people might not realize, and it's going to cause confusion. Why are you allowing this? And it's going to cause all kinds of misunderstandings. Like, perhaps we should not apply this kula tzrichi. That's why we have both halachis, whether it's a ring, whether it's a large barrel, the same principle applies in both. Amar Rabba, however, lehitirish lagish alachavis. He disagrees. He says, actually, Rish Lakish spoke about barrels and barrels only. The minkor nifilas, because its absence is noticeable. That makes it clear cut. Aval te'enolai, but if the issue is a mix of, let's say, figs, where each individual fig isn't really such a impressive entity, so there, even if one falls away, the mix is still aser. Rav Yosef Amar says no. Afilu te'eno. Rish Lakish would agree, even by a small, you know, item like a fig, like a ring. The same concept would apply. You know why? Kenefilasa kahaliasa. Because just as when it falls into the mix, right, the forbidden fig drops into a mix of 100 others, right? We say, well, it makes it asr. So people realize, yeah, a fig is a distinct entity. That's why it's going to forbid the entire mix. Kahaliasa. Likewise, if it leaves the mix, right? Has to work both ways, right? If we can make it usr, we'll make it mutter upon its disappearance. Everybody understands, right? There's no room for misunderstanding. Okay, so Rish Lakish teaches us that the truma barrel mixed into the other barrels will make everything usr in the meantime, unless one barrel falls away, disappears. Now we can hope and pray that was the Isser barrel and everything is mutter. The question is, would he apply this to small and significant items as well? We have a discussion about that. Okay, Amr Lasser. Here comes another issue regarding mixed barrels. Chaviz shal truma shenafel b'kuf chaviyes. We have this one barrel filled with truma, a sealed barrel, which is not going to be bottled, even though it got mixed up with 100 other barrels of non-truma material. Okay, a sealed barrel is not bottle. However, suppose he decides to unseal, uncork a barrel. At that point, it's bottle. The barrel that he opened, you know, the wine was in that barrel, is okay. Because even if that barrel, in fact, contains truma, once it's open, it cannot be bottle. Because as we said, really, one part of truma is bottle in 100 parts of non-truma, unless it's a sealed barrel, which is no more. Pesach achas mehem. What he does is opens, uncorks, unscrews one barrel. V'noitel heimena k'dei demua v'shoyis, and then the rabbani has to take, you know, a percentage off that barrel. K'dei demua means a percentage corresponding to the truma that mixed into the entire, you know, collective group. which in this case is 101th. It's 1 out of 101, right? That's the amount of truma that we have in this whole mix of 101 barrels. One barrel truma and 100 non-truma. So that's midrabbana. We don't want the kahanim to lose out. So you have to, you know, give them their share. But we can safely assume, really, this barrel is not truma. Go enjoy it. Asks the Gemara, you mean we advise you to do this? You're allowed to lechatchila go and open a barrel and make bittel? Yosef Rav Dimi v'ka'amar l'lashmata. Rav Dimi was sitting over this halacha. Humbly Rav Nachman comes to Rav Nachman and says, what do you mean? Gama v'shasik chazina hocha. I see you're allowing him to gama, to swallow, to drink. Chazina. That's what I'm seeing here. Is that so? You're allowed to actually go ahead and unseal those barrels? So then what's the Mishnah all about? The Mishnah which says that sealed barrels cannot be butler. Just go and unseal it. You're good. Obviously you can't. You're not allowed to manipulate this mix and do bittel when there's no bittel. Elaima, rather, if it happened, I'm not telling you to do it. It's not advised. It's not permissible to actually go manipulate it and be mevatel. Niftecha achasman. Let's say it happened to open up. The butler came along, not realizing the issue, opened up the unsealed the barrel. Then we say, once it's opened, it could be bottled in the greater mix. The rest of the barrels, and then you just have to remove a certain percentage and give it to the kohen. Another scenario regarding a barrel mix-up. One barrel of truma gets mixed in with 150 non-truma barrels. And it so happens that somebody came along and unsealed 100 barrels. Okay, so those barrels are safe. Right? But the other 50, the outstanding 50 sealed barrels, what happens to them? Okay, so v'niftechu me'amen, 100 were opened. Noit l'amena k'deit mo, shoysa. So he removes the percentage of truma, and, you know, the like we explained. And he drinks the rest. Usha'ar, but the rest, the other 50 which are still sealed, asurin, off limits, ad shi'pasch, until they're opened. What would be the reason to allow them? I mean, why would I think? You can argue, you can say, you can suggest that perhaps since 100 were opened and 50 are unopened, we have to guess where is the truma barrel situated. More chances that it's sitting amongst the 100, which is a majority, rather than amongst the 50. So that would really allow us to drink the 50, no problem. No, we don't say that. But I mean, we do not say Isura Barubi Isse, that the Isser is situated amongst the majority. We don't say that. So as long as they're sealed, they're off limits. And of course, if they get unsealed, they become bottled like the other ones. But until that happens, you cannot assume anything. Those 50 have to be treated like truma. And Parshan pointed out that he obviously disagrees with the Shita of Rav, with the 100 rings that were split into two groups, 60 and 40, and we assume the Isser is amongst the 60 because that's the the majority number. And he disagrees with that. You don't just assume that the Isser is to be found amongst the larger number. Okay, now we go back to the Mishnah. We had an animal mix-up. We have a faulty animal, an animal which is deficient, not suitable for hakrava, getting mixed up with other animals which are meant for karbanes. What do you do? Okay, Mishnah says you have to let them get blemished and then redeem and transfer, all kinds of solutions. So the question is, how did this mix-up occur to begin with? Why can't you just identify the problematic animal? Okay, so you understand if it's a spiritual deficiency due to some sort of experience interacting with humans, etc., that cannot be, discerned. I understand that all those cases are not really noticeable anymore. So you have a undiscernible mix. Eli trefa, but one example mentioned in the Mishnah is a trefa. Trefa is an animal with a critical wound. So if it's something discernible from the outside, it's an external wound, so what's the issue? There's no mix-up, just pull them out of the group. Hey, Chidami, what exactly occurred? What kind of treifa are we dealing with? E-A-D-L-A, if you can see from the outside, it's an external wound. Lysivalishkla, just pull them out of the bunch, and you're solved your problem. E-L-O-Y-A-D-L-A, if you can't really notice it from the outside, so how would you even know? They didn't have any x-rays in those. How would you even know that there's a treifa here? Mano-Y-A-D-D-Y-A-R, how would you know that a treifa got mixed in, which created this issue to begin with? So basically, we have to look for some sort of treifa issue that's a treifa, but not noticeable from the outside. The Gemara comes up with three variations. First, Amr Dvei Rav Yanai, Hachab my skin was speaking kushinus artness di ariv nukuva sakoitz bedrusa saseiv. We have two animals, right? One is a treifa, one is not. Why can't you tell them apart? The answer is, they both have some sort of external puncture, a visible puncture. You happen to know that one was simply a benign, a thorn, right? Got punctured by a thorn, pricked by a thorn, by a piece of wood or something, right? Nothing dangerous, nothing critical. Whereas the other one was attacked by a ze'ev, by a wolf, right? Who inserted his nails, and the Gemara says, Rashi says that there's eres, is some sort of poison that gets inserted, and that labels the animal as treifa. So externally, they're both similar. Both have punctures. But you know that one is a treifa, one is not. And that's what happened. And that's why you have a mix, which is undiscernible. The Arev Nukubas Akoitz, one animal which was struck by a koitz, a thorn, something, sharp instrument. Rashi says it was just a surface puncture. It didn't really permeate the interior cavity, so it doesn't make it a treifa. But Drusus says, as opposed to the animal which was attacked by a wolf. Rish Lagash Amark and the Arab in a fula. Your carbon got mixed into an animal which had fallen off the roof. So there's no visible external signs of anything going on, but dalacha is, you have to suspect that perhaps there's some internal bleeding, some internal wound. So again, it's something that happened. You know for a fact, one of these are considered a treifa, but you can't really identify from the outside. So you don't know which one is which. Asks the Gemara, what do you mean? If it's merely a fula animal, there's also a simple solution. There's a simple way out. Nami libdike, just do a bedika. If it stands up, if it could walk, right? And that solves the issue. Then it's healthy and even an animal who had fallen but got up on its own, on its own four legs, still you have to wait 24 hours to determine, whether it's going to survive. And even if halcha, even if it walked, tzricha bedika, you're not done. After you do the shechita, you have to check. You have to do a thorough internal examination. And that's not appropriate. With respect to offering it as a carb, Rashi says, once, there's a good chance of it having problems. You can't bring it as a carb and rely on the bedikah after carb. It's not something that you do. It's not something that's a covet for Hashem. Okay, so that generates an issue. One animal is a fallen animal. One, amongst the bunch. Let's say you have two animals. One had fallen, one is not. You can't tell them from the outside, so you can't do anything with them. Rabbi Yirmiyah Amar, here comes a third variation. Could go in the Arab of La Trefa. Your animal, your carb, got mixed in to another animal, which isn't the treifa on its own, but was an offspring, a child of an animal which is a treifa, which also labels it as a treifa. It has the Isra treifa on it. Why? Rav Lezer here. Going according to that shita, the Amu says, even a vlad treifa, the child of a treifa, cannot be brought to the Mizbeach. So, the question was, treifa mixing up with another behemoth, just pull them out of the bunch. The answer is, it's not discernible, it's not noticeable from the outside. One teretz was, it's both animals had this sort of puncture, one of which is a treifa, one not. The other one says, it had fallen off the roof. Third pshat is a child of a treifa. Now we're going to try to figure out why each one of these three opinions preferred his over the other one. Kulu k'Rabbi Yanai li'amri. The other ones did not choose Rabbi Yana's approach with a puncture. Bein Nukubas HaKoitz L'Derusas HaZev made the idea. They hold that you can tell them apart. You can tell apart a prick of a koitz versus the Zev's, claws. Why? Hai Mashav Hai Ugal. When the Zev attacks with his claws, he pulls downward. It's a more of an elongated type of wound. Hai Ugal versus the other puncture, which should be just small and round. There's a big difference in terms of. On the other hand, Kirish Lakish Layami, they prefer their approach over Ish Lakish. Speaks about a fallen animal, because Sabra, they hold that wouldn't be an issue. Amda Einetzricha Meisleis. Holcha Einetzricha Bedika. They hold that even a fallen animal, once it's up and running, right, it's okay. If it gets up, you don't have to wait 24 hours to shecht it. Once it's walking, certainly, rest assured, it's okay. So that's what you can do over here too. Let it walk around and you're good. And finally, Rabbi Yirmiyah Liamri, the others preferred their approach over Rabbi Yirmiyah regarding the Vlad Trefa, like Rabbi Elazar, because they hold Rabbi Elazar Leimukmi. They didn't want to establish Al Mishnah, in line with Rabbi Elazar. That's not the consensus. Rather, like the Chachamim, that a Vlad Trefa wouldn't be unsuitable for Mizbeach. That can't be the issue. And that's why they took their approach over his. Okay, so in a nutshell, we discussed several cases of mix-ups. First, two halachos of Rav regarding a tabas of a dezorah mixing up with many others. In the first case, we have a leniency. If one of those tabois falls into the amagadol, the rest are okay. Let's say the 100 was split into two groups, 60-40. Rav holds, if you can generate a sfek, a double layer of suffik. So, for instance, if the 40 falls into another group, that would be okay, because now in the new group, every item there is a suffik, double suffik, whether he's the Isser, versus if the 60 falls into a group, then you only have one suffik, because presumably the Isser was amongst those 60. So it's Asser. Shmuel holds that when it comes up by the Zorah, even a sfek is Asser. We have Rish Lakish, who applies Rav's concept to barrels. The question is whether, to what extent would Rish Lakish agree with Rav by small items or not. We had a discussion about that. We spoke about the Chavis Shal Truma, while sealed, is not bottle, but once it's opened, it becomes bottle. We discussed three possible variations of a Trefa mix-up. All the best to you, and Atzlachar.